All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a spicy one here. The man himself, the defending champion of the faction championship. I'm going to ask you to say your last name for me because I don't know how to say it.
I don't think anybody knows.
Would you like to introduce yourself, champ?
Well, you know, my name is Rob Verslies, Verslies. Yeah, the actual champ, not like Nathan. Who, you know, apparently seemed like he was. Yeah, so actually the real one. Yeah, so hopefully this year we can continue the lead.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yes, that was definitely partly my fault as I, months ago, I did an interview with him and called him the faction champ, which I'm gravely sorry for. I didn't mean to, offend your honor. It's totally on me, that one. But alas, you now have to defend your throne. People are coming for your crown, mate. Have you prepared? Are you ready? You're ready to go into war and make sure that you know you're the back-to-back, the first two-time winner?
Yeah, not really. I mean, played a bit of draft, but Highlander, I think the last Highlander game was the last faction invitational, I think.
Okay. So maybe a little less prepared than what we want to be.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I'm probably gonna have to, you know, look at some deck lists and yeah, see what's actually going on with Highlander at the moment. But yeah, I've no idea. So
right. So we'll start from the top anyway. I just want to get pick your brain and let you introduce yourself. Obviously, you've said your name. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm just going to call you the champ for the rest of the interview. I'm sure you'll appreciate that. But tell me about when you joined the faction, how you got into the faction. Talk to me about your magic playing. You know, the PDQs, the GPs, any finishes. I mean, again, you can talk about how you're the champ. Floor's yours.
So I guess the faction I joined probably right at the start. It basically was like, yeah, Hoodie, Pete, Gary, Dan, they sort of were playing together and, you know, going to like tournaments and GPs and then, you know, met those guys at Preston. I was at that time mainly playing with Matt, younger. And at some point there was basically a GP I wanted to go to, but, you know, Matt didn't really want to go. I was like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to ask these guys if I can go with those guys. And yeah, so they were happy to have me. And then we basically spent the weekend in Sydney, which was, yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. And from then on, yeah, I guess Hoodie was definitely the driving factor behind that, you know, to get like a proper team going. And yeah, then Shane joined and then, you know, sort of started snowballing from there.
Yeah, for sure.
Any results? Or yeah, I didn't really achieve much magic-wise, to be honest, apart from winning the faction champs, which obviously is one of the biggest things in the world, but I never did quite well in GPs or anything like that. Always partied too hard the day before, and then, you know, on the actual day, generally didn't go that well.
Yeah, you have been known to enjoy a beverage or two, I know from experience, which is great because probably not so much that way anymore, but I definitely used to be on that side of the field. I know you're also pretty hot on the poker. You won an Aussie Millions event, correct?
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, I did far better in poker than in Magic than I ever did in Magic, for sure.
Do you still get your hands around the poker cards? Like, do you play online or you use a... what do they call it? SBA or IPN or whatever it is? A VPN to play online?
VPN. No. I mean, I'd like to play more, but I just want it to be easy. And I much prefer real life poker now. And I'm just hoping that, you know, especially like the pub game poker, all that's going to start up again. Because that's, I really love doing that. But like, yeah, I really can't be asked online with VPNs and shady sites and whatever. I haven't played online in, but I can't even remember. Yeah, probably since they make focus tests illegal in Australia.
I know. I know from experience, you got to jump through some fucking hoops to get yourself onto those sites and do some shit that correlates to illegal activity just to be able to play. So, and you feel, I think you feel like your money's never safe. So, I totally agree, especially with the pub side of it, right? That'll be great.
Yeah, like there's a good game right near my house. Well, there's another one. I think it was Braden that sort of got me onto that one. It was in North Melbourne somewhere. Was a yeah, really really good game. Nice people. There's great atmosphere. Like playing poker like that's fun. I can't be asked grinding anymore, you know. That's yeah.
It's a full-time job. It's just a full-time job, right?
Too old for that shit.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And you've recently just turned 40, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah, it's a sad day, but it happens to everyone.
I mean, yeah, it's coming for us all, or most of us, people that it hasn't already come for. But yeah, I mean, I could imagine that trying to wager full-time poker plus a day job plus family pretty steep, like something's got to give there, and I feel like the other side of the family wouldn't appreciate that too much. So yeah, I can definitely understand.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I do love like home games and just games like that. That's still fun. But we had a good one with during lockdown. I think Papak organized it. I think Gibbo just cleaned out everyone in that game, which was interesting. It was fun.
Gibbo's a shark, mate. He is an absolute shark, and he's actually quite good at poker. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I lost a couple hundred, but yeah, it was good fun.
I mean, Gibbo's one of my best mates, and I couldn't make that evening, but I'm glad I didn't, because yeah, apparently you couldn't aces 3 times or something or other. Yeah, pretty tough.
He was getting cards, but also like playing well. So that combination, yeah, very very good combination.
Speaking of getting cards and playing well, talk to me about Crimson Vow. I know that people in the faction that are attending this tournament look up to you and look for you when it comes to your results as a limited player. I think that you, in just like the casual side, when we show up for the faction tournaments, like in Shane, is the faction events like in Shane's shed or Papak's backyard or whatever, I think that you have the most wins out of anybody. So what are you thinking about Crimson Vow? How do you feel about the draft format? How do you feel about your chances going into it? So obviously, I've said it every time, but I'll say it again. We've got 3 rounds of draft leading into 4 rounds of Highlander, and then the top eight will also be Crimson Vow draft. So talk to me about the format structure, the format of Crimson Vow, and yeah, what any thoughts you've got on it.
I think draft's going to be awesome. I think it's a really good draft format. I should do okay. The problem is I'm now in the stage of the format where you start trying all the wacky stuff. So that might become a bit detrimental, but I reckon it's going to be awesome though. Like it's a great format. There's a lot of different stuff you can do. And like initially I thought, first week's like, oh, you just play a bomb and you win, it's just whoever plays the bomb wins, but I don't think that's the case actually. It's actually, yeah, I mean, sometimes it happens, but I reckon it's going to be, I think it's a great format. And I think a lot of people know the format well enough to, make it a really good battle. So looking forward to it.
I 100% agree. I've done quite a bit of delving into this format myself, and I definitely agree with all those things you just said. I think the format's extremely deep, and whilst you touched on it, the bomb heavy nature of it, I think that there's definitely ways that you can get around that with some clever draft strategies and understanding of cards that on the surface level don't look particularly great.
I had a funny interaction as well. It's like I had the 5/6 vampire. The
Blood Vial Purveyor.
yeah, I'm like, great. So, a best of three. I played game one, smashed my opponent, game two, I play it again. He puts the enchantment, gets minus X, minus zero, equal to the number of cards in graveyard. Can't do shit. And all of a sudden, he just gets a blood for every spell he plays, you know? Those kind of things. Like, there's. Well, normally that card, the enchantment, seems pretty unplayable or terrible, but like in this case, all of a sudden, it's like a crazy all-star that can completely wreck your opponent. It's, yeah, there's a, I think there's a quite a bit of stuff like that in the in here as well.
Yep, totally agree. And you did touch on it. You said you haven't played a whole lot of Highlander, but
Yeah, nothing, yeah.
you're planning to get involved in the format a little bit, or just brew up something crazy and throw it at the wall and hope that it sticks like you did last time.
Yeah, so last time I think I just grabbed a deck and made like three changes and that was it. One side I want to kind of brew, but on the other hand, that's the easy recipe for an 0-4, I feel. So, I don't know. I'm not sure. I might just, you know, just grab a deck, whichever one I like, and try and get familiar with that. And then hope for the best. Hope for a 2-2, and then hopefully do well in the drafts and get there that way.
Definitely relying on the limited game by the sounds of it.
Yeah, 100%.
Not a bad place to be in a limited heavy format though.
Yep.
So yeah, trying to win out in the draft early and then just break even in the Highlander side of it to hit the top eight. I like it. I think that's a good plan, especially for you. Like you said, you've just listening to what you said about the limited format, about how you understand the niche cards means that you're going to have a good chance in the draft, regardless of, you know, opening an Avabrook Caretaker or opening a dual land.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah.
So, speaking of the top eight, I got to pick your brain. Who's winning this tournament and who's getting second?
It's very tough. Well, I don't know. I think anybody can win it from the team, basically. If you divide everyone in a couple of draft pots, there's not going to be an easy pot, for example. It's like literally anyone. Although it's probably. I feel it's somebody that's good in Highlander and paid attention to Limited. So, I don't know exactly. Are you actually playing, or?
I will be attending, yes.
Yeah, all right. So, I give you a good chance. I'd say Nathan's always competitive, and I know he's been getting involved more and more with Highlander as well. Then, yeah, Leo. I think, yeah, I think. So.
I'm gonna need an answer. I need a definitive answer of one, two.
Or Ian, you know, as well. He's been doing a lot of Highlander, and I know he's done a lot of Crimson Vow at one stage as well. So, okay, I'm gonna guess. I reckon Ian, actually.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Who's he beating?
Leo.
Ian and Leo. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that actually. I do like that. I think that's wise. I think it's incorrect because you didn't, and I'm disappointed because you didn't back yourself in.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
that's the whole point of this interview was to try and get you on here to shit on everybody and then run it back, but that's fine. If you want to be modest, then that's also fine.
No, you always gotta be the underdog, man. You gotta play from the underdog position.
I mean, you can still call yourself an underdog and win the tournament.
Yeah, true. I don't think I don't. Yeah, I don't have a good feeling about it, unfortunately.
Oh, you heard it first. There's blood in the water, and we're still a week and a half away. Anyone's game from the defending champion.
I really do think it's anyone's game. There's like more than half can just.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
Literally, anyone can just win it, for sure, 100%. And especially with a lot of people that have played a bunch of Highlander in the recent months and everything, and then also did the drafts. Like I think they're just, yeah, they'll have a really good shot.
And who gets ninth?
Ah, Hoodie, for sure.
I think that Hoodie and Kyle are both tied for ninth when it comes to the answer of the question. I think it's
I think Hoodie always starts incredibly well. It's like dominating, and then something happens, and then somehow he's nice. I think that's what it's going to go down.
I've already told the story at, like, when he was at the Invitational after he 3-0'd, and he was on the phone talking to his kids about how he was going to bring home the trophy. Oh, mate.
Really, Papa? We're gonna get the trophy?
I warned him straight away after that, and yeah, that always that's one of my favorite Magic memories is just that. It's so good.
So,
Confidence, just hoodie
yeah.
to a T. I love that man.
So brutal. But I fear it's gonna become a meme because it's gonna happen again.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Yeah.
this is an interesting format because that limited format was Keltime, and no one had drafted that format.
Nah, nobody.
Whereas this is Crimson Vow, and we're literally in the last couple of weeks of it, where some of us have, done 50 plus drafts. So it's a very different ball game. I think that the chances of people being the reward for people being prepared in this format is massive compared to the position that we were put in Keltime, where it was more about relying on your ability to evaluate cards and your limited laurels that you'd taught yourself.
Although there's also the danger of overthinking stuff. Like if you've done 50 drafts, and you notice in on arenas like there's a bit of a meta, right? That some weeks certain things are really good because they're so easy to get, and then it all changes. And then it's interesting to see what will be going on in the drafts at champs. Like it. Are people thinking about it the same way or not? Are you like next leveling yourself? That's definitely a possibility as well. Oh, hang on. Hey, who's this guy?
Hello.
Good night,
Who have we got here, Rob?
buddy.
Good night. That's my kid. That's my little boy, Oscar.
Good night, Oscar. Well, I think we've said good night, Oscar, and I think we'll say goodbye to you too, Rob, because that's basically all that we've really got time for. But I thank you for finding the time to chat to me. And like I said, I do hope that I would love to see you win it back to back. I think that you're a very good have a very good limited mind, and I'm very interested to see what you bring in Highlander.
Yeah, I might actually start brewing now, actually.
Well, now's the time to start brewing if you want a shot, because I tell you what, it's stiff comp. Everybody's coming for that crown, mate, so hold on.
Know. Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Thank you, Rob, and we'll be back with another interview shortly. Bye, Kyle.
Cool, cheers. See ya.